You know what's better than love in a relationship? Like. Like is greater than love. And you know what's more important than chemistry in a relationship? Alchemy. And today we're going to talk about it. And at the end, I'm going to share some bonus content with you. 5 things that every executive should know. Let's go forward. Get started. Want to tell you about www.oneinstitution.com. If you're interested in listening to some really good podcasts from really great podcasters, oneinstitution.com is a great place to start. Some really extraordinary talent with some really extraordinary subject matter, and you will not be disappointed. So make sure you tune in to www.oneinstitution.com. Check out some of the awesome podcasts there. And also, if you're interested in starting a podcast, this is a great place to start. You can either plug into this network, or we have service packages available that will help you sharpen whatever it is that you're doing and be a better podcaster. So that being said, this is the 18th anniversary of my wife Angela and I's marriage. And I just want to start off by saying, Angela, I love you, baby cakes, from the bottom of my heart, with all that I have. Thank you for being my best friend, for being my partner in crime, for being the mother of our children, and for being the best lover that I've ever had. I honor you today. And that brings us to our subject matter, because I want to talk a little bit about relationships, because we really get caught up in relationships and what we think they should be or what they shouldn't be. And one of the things that I want to talk about, because I love science, is chemistry. And people will often talk about the chemistry between two people in an intimate relationship, or two or more people in a business or other relationship. And they'll talk about chemistry. And I'm going to tell you something, that chemistry is a vital part of most relationships. The catch is, you can't depend on it. And I say this all the time, because I'm going to talk about intimate relationships for just a minute, because my sons are now all of age where, you know, girls are a thing for them. And as a matter of fact, one of my sons, I'm a grandpa for the first time because of one of my sons. And so I'm really excited about all of that. And he and his fiance, they're scheduled to get married later this year. But I've told him, as I've told all the rest of the guys, is that the thing that is more important than love in any intimate relationship is like. And the reason why I say like is important, because if you don't like someone, eventually when the shine wears off of the relationship, if you don't have like, your relationship will be in the ditch. Let me give you an example. We're all attracted to people for different reasons. Some people like tall people. Some people like short people. Some people like thin people. Some people like heavy people. In other words, there's someone for everyone. And the thing is that when you are first attracted to someone, if it is a physical attraction that causes the connection, that causes the chemistry, then that means that physical attribute must remain constant, otherwise the shine goes off the relationship. Or, for example, you might be attracted to someone who dances well, but over time, our joints, our muscles, they don't respond the same way, and dancing is not such an attractive option. Sometimes the sex is off the chain. Sometimes it's just absolute straight up toenail curling, boot knocking, back breaking sex. But over time, you get old and all the parts don't work like they used to. And here's what happens, is that if those are the defining characteristics of your relationship, then when time casts its aspersions on that attribute, what happens is you're left with disappointment. And this is why like is so important, because I like my wife. And I'll say something here, and I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but when we met, I don't want to say it was chemistry. I think that we actually locked into certain attributes about one another that were based on intellectual, spiritual, and emotional things. My wife and I, we met online. And so there wasn't an actual physical, I see you and you see me and the thunderbolt happens and suddenly, oh my God, we're in love kind of thing. It was more of a deliberate process. It was one thing building on another. And this is why I want to say don't put too much emphasis on chemistry, because what I learned in crafting our relationship together with Angela and myself is that we learned to like each other. In other words, we like to talk to each other and listen to each other. And sometimes we don't even talk. We just spend time together. We can be in the same room. For example, we can be in the living room. And I can be on one chair or sofa, and my wife can be on another chair or sofa or love seat. We can be separated, but we are in the same space and we are enjoying the presence of one another. That's not chemistry, because I think chemistry in relationships kind of alludes to something accidental. But when you have like is intentional. And what happens is you, because of like, you find commonalities. You find places to connect. Even if you may not have things or places of connection, points of connection natively or intrinsically, you can cultivate these things because you like each other. And what does that mean when you like someone? Anytime, I always tell people that love is great. Love is wonderful. Lust is awesome, right? I mean, just keep it real, right? But like means that I'm going to be intentional about finding common points of interest. And so what I like to say is that instead of looking for the chemistry in a relationship, what you may want to do is look for what I call alchemy. Now, on my Friday, Freeology Friday show that I do with Aaron Tomlinson on Facebook, we talked about alchemy. And alchemy, from a natural standpoint, is the concept of turning base metal into precious metal, or lead into gold, for example, or mercury into silver. And it was like the holy grail of science at one time. Even such luminaries as Sir Isaac Newton were steeped in the science of alchemy. And the idea was that if you could find this thing called the Philosopher's Stone, or also known as the Elixir of Life, that you could take this base metal and convert it into something precious. Now, that's really, really cool. But when Aaron and I had this discussion on Facebook, we talked about how the Philosopher's Stone could change our base thinking into something more illuminated. In other words, we could use the Philosopher's Stone as a means to elevate our consciousness. And this is the key, because when we talk about relationships, if you are stuck in a lower consciousness, your relationship will struggle. But the higher the consciousness of both parties or all parties in a relationship, if it's not intimate, the higher the consciousness, the greater the success of the relationship. And so when you're looking at a relationship particularly an intimate relationship where you're looking at being involved in a monogamous relationship, instead of looking for chemistry, you should perhaps look for alchemy. Because what you're doing is, and mind you, this is really important, because you're not trying to change anyone. This is important. I got to say this. I got to stop here. I got to pin this for a second. If you get into a relationship where you feel like you have to change someone, or you have to change yourself, or that the basic nature of the people involved has to change in order for the relationship to work, that is a relationship that is doomed to fail. Because it isn't about changing, it's about accepting. And it's more than accepting, it's tolerating. And it's even more than tolerating, it's celebrating. Listen, if you are not affirming the people in your relationship, if you're not celebrating them, you're just tolerating them, you are in a relationship that's doomed to fail. You have to be prepared to celebrate, to affirm, to edify the people who you are in covenant with, whether it be an intimate relationship, for example, marriage, or whether it's a business relationship, or it's an educational relationship, or it's a mentor-protege relationship, whatever it is, you have to know that the idea is that the other parties in the relationship, that it's not incumbent upon them to change, nor is it incumbent upon you to change. See, in order for relationships to be successful, they have to be accepting of the parties where they are, as they are today, not for what their potential could be. I've heard, man, as a pastor, I counsel many people, and they say, well, you know, she's not exactly what I'd want her to be, but she has so much potential. Listen, you're setting yourself up for a failure of expectation. So we want to focus in on the alchemy of the relationship and understand that when in alchemy, there is this thing called the Philosopher's Stone or the Elixir of Life that changes what is base to what is elevated. And let me help you out with that, that you are the Philosopher's Stone. And what you're changing is not the person, but you're changing the consciousness. You're changing how the relationship is perceived and executed. In other words, through your own personal Philosopher's Stone, you're looking to find, how can I connect to my mate? How do I connect and elevate my consciousness in such a way that it empathetically raises the consciousness of others? Man, that's one of the things that it really helped me. But one of the things that this does is this takes a lot of pressure off relationships, because in other words, you're never trying to change anyone. You're never trying to reform or reformulate or transform anyone. You're accepting, affirming people where they are, as they are. But what you're doing is you're looking at one another in the construct of the relationship. Now, let me say this too, because this is really important, because if you don't get the like thing right, that's the starting point. Like is the springboard into the deep end of the pool of great relationships. If you get the like right, you have a springboard into this deep end of the pool, and what you'll find is, understand this, the party at the pool is never on the side of the pool. It's never even on the springboard. The party is in the water. It's in the deep end of the pool because that's where you have the most freedom. That's where you have the most excitement. That's where you have the most challenge. And if you're not a swimmer, the deep end is where you're going to have the most growth. So that like is the springboard that gets you into that deep end. Because if you do anything else trying to jump into the pool, lust will allow you to dive into the shallow end of the pool. And you know what happens when you dive into the shallow end of the pool. It either winds up ugly or somebody gets hurt. And you can always have love, and that may get you into the pool, but it doesn't get you into the best possible place in the pool. Now, understand this. I believe in love. I believe in the power of love. I teach the power of love. Love is super, super, super important. But understand this. Love is universal. See, we should love everyone, every single human being. We should love them. We should have absolute empathy and compassion for every person that we meet, for every human soul. Like, on the other hand, just simply means that I want to kick it with them. See, that's the thing. One of the things that I learned and I taught when I was pastoring, and I don't mean to keep falling back to this, but it's this, that you love everyone. But the way to set boundaries in your life is by whom you like. Because those who you like, you're going to commit to spending time with them. You're going to commit to being transparent with them. You're going to commit to sharing life with them. Whereas love just simply says, I'm going to extend empathy and compassion to you in every area that I possibly can. It's a big difference. So again, chemistry is great. It's great when you feel like I just connect with this person and I felt the chemistry and you could just feel the electricity, the bond between us, and that is awesome. The point that I'm getting at is that you can't build anything lasting on that. But if you look to alchemy, I know that sounds so counterintuitive, and I know that my scientific friends are probably having a conniption as they're listening to this, but the reality is that what you want to do is you want to turn this base relationship or a foundation into something extraordinary. And that philosopher's stone is what's in you and your capacity to like. And when I say like, not just accepting, not just tolerating, but absolutely affirming and celebrating the object of your affection. Because when you do that, you will find that something, just like how alchemy is something that we know what we believe it to be, what we know what we believe is possible from it, but we actually experience something magic. And that's the thing. So if you have any questions, I would love to hear from you. Hit me up at comments@derekday.com, or you can go to the oneinstitution.com website, leave me a message there. But in the meantime, be sure to visit oneinstitution.com, like and subscribe to all the podcasts there. You'll find, I promise you, there's something for everyone there. Go out there, be edified. And if you have any comments, questions, or anything like that, please drop me a line. Hit me up with an email or put something in the comments or however you want to do it. But if you lay something on me, I promise you that I'll respond one way or the other. And in fact, what I'm going to do going forward is I'll start finding some of the best comments or voicemails or things like that, and I will share them in the podcast. So until next time, may you be happy, may you be well, and may you be filled with peace. In today's special installment of the Forward Podcast, which I like to call Leadership Forward, I want to talk about five things that every executive should know. Number one, every executive must know how to have integrity. Your word must be your bond. You must be a person who can be counted on to mean what they say and say what they mean. If your word is not your bond, what happens is that people lose trust in you, they lose confidence in you, and they will not follow you. The thing is that every executive has buck-stopping authority, and it is their responsibility to drive things from inception to actual execution. And in order to do that, you absolutely, positively must be a person of your word. You must have integrity. You need to know that. Number two, know your why. I can't stress knowing why enough. One of the reasons why businesses fail, why relationships fail, why many things fail, is because people don't understand the why. The why is the vision. The why is it's the burning desire that gets us up in the morning. The why is the thing that actually drives the who, the what, the when, and the where, and the how. If you don't have why, if you don't understand what your purpose, we absolutely have to be purpose-driven. And not just purpose-driven, but part of the why is being vision-driven. You have to be able, as an executive, to cast a vision, something that people can see even when they can't actually see it. This is a huge, huge thing. And I think that in a lot of cases, we miss it. But if you understand why and you're able to articulate it, you will be a leg up on your competition. Number three, you need to create a culture. Creating a culture simply is this, that basically your culture is what differentiates you from other competitors or other departments or anything. Basically, your culture is a reflection not only of you, but it's a reflection of the character and the nature of everyone that's involved. What you need to do is you need to basically put together something, create a cultural paradigm that is inclusive, but it also ties back to the why, that it ties back to the vision. The culture must be the sum total of the personalities involved in a project, involved in a corporation, involved in a business that is tied to the vision. So in other words, what you're doing is you're understanding what people's concerns are, what their inputs are, what their contributions are, and you are dovetailing all of that into the vision. That is the genesis of culture. Gotta have culture. Number four, be realistic. Listen, pie in the sky just simply doesn't work. It can't work. And one of the things that we see in business a lot, in the software business especially, we hear this term called vaporware. In other words, it's something that it's in our mind, it's on paper, but it hasn't been executed yet. And many times, what we call vaporware is exactly that, simply because it isn't realistic. I like to go back to the paradigm of SMART goals, that things are specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. These are the goals that we want to have, but we have to be absolutely realistic that this is something that's attainable. And sometimes you may start out with the best of intentions, and you may get down far enough down the path and realize that this may not work. Well, in that case, it's time to reset expectations. And that brings me to point number five. You must be a communicator. If you are an executive, you must be able to communicate. And that's not just getting up and being able to give a polished speech or to be able to do an interesting video. It's also listening. You have to be not only a good talker, but you have to be a good listener. In fact, I would say listen twice, speak once. Just like measure twice, cut once. It's the same principle. Make sure that you are gathering as many data points as you can by listening to your customers, listening to your charge, listening to your stakeholders, and understanding where everyone is coming from and how best to fit all of this together to tie it back again to the vision. Because you have to be able to cast a vision, but you can have a vision in your mind and not be able to communicate it. In which case, your vision may be, it may not come to pass. At any rate, these are the five things that I can think of. I'd like to know what you think. Did I miss anything? Are these things spot on? And I know that there are always many more things. I'm just trying to keep it simple. But in the meantime, I would love to hear your feedback. Love to get your comments. Please like and subscribe, and I'd love to catch you in the comments below. Like to find out what your thoughts are on this. At any rate, I look forward to hearing from you, and I will see you on the other side of Forward.